This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Address Unknown. This is Jonica, and as always, I'm here with Farber. And I feel a little cheesy saying this, but it's kind of a big deal for us. On April 11th, we hit 6 months since we departed the U.S. of A. on our trip around the world. We wanted to do a little State of the Union, if you will. Top hits, a rundown of kind of where we are and where we're going.
All right, we are back, and as Jonica had mentioned, this is the 17th episode of Address Unknown.
That's a lot. We've kept it up.
And it was just about a month ago that we hit this, I would call it an anniversary.
Yeah, I think it is.
The six-month mark. Yeah. 6 months of being on the road.
It's a big deal.
6 months of living out of a suitcase, a backpack, and a duffel bag.
Yeah, not a suitcase. That would be luxurious, honestly. Like, that's, we don't even have that.
6 months of Jonica wearing the same three pairs of shoes.
It's true.
So very briefly, if for those who may not know, our trip itinerary, we started in Sydney, Australia. From there, we went to New Zealand for a couple weeks. We then returned back to Australia for 2.5 months in the van.
Vans.
Plural.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to Indonesia, Singapore, the Philippines, and Vietnam. We're going to do a quick couple of the top three lists, if you will, for the time during the previous 6 months. So let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So far, my dear, what are your top three favorite activities?
In no particular order, I will say Green Island snorkeling. In Australia was amazing. I feel like I've kind of been snotty about snorkeling since I got certified in diving, but snorkeling is super interesting. It allows you to see very different things in diving, and snorkeling on Green Island was incredible. Hiking in Royal National Park in Australia also. It's crazy to me that two things out of the top three are in Australia. And then the final thing would be swimming and floating in the lakes in Palawan. So how about you? What's your top three?
Ironically, there is another Australian locale.
Oh.
My first one was hiking in the Blue Mountain National Park in Oz.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Grand Canyon of Australia. Then, of course, learning to surf in Lombok, Indonesia. That was like my snowboarding second cousin sort of situation. So I mm-hmm. still got my fix there.
You're still obsessed.
And then finishing off, this is the walking tours in both Jakarta, specifically because of the Istiqlal Mosque, which is the largest mosque in Southeast Asia, and also the first time Janaka and I had never been in a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saigon, the walking tour there. And that was because of our guide, who was so anti-communist and so blunt, and she was just great. It was everything you needed for like day two in a foreign country.
So once again, you have four things when you're supposed to only have three.
There's a lot of things I like.
Okay. All right. What about top three meals?
Again, we're throwing back to Australia here. Broadwater oysters in Pembula Lake. Mm-hmm. This was a family oyster farm. We had to have just basically gorge on oysters. It wasn't as though it was a meal per se.
So many oysters. And Prosecco. It was lovely.
Then, which this is, comes as no surprise, but the fruits in this part of the world. So all of the jackfruit, the salak, which we got to try, which is also called snake fruit. I found out the hard way. It causes constipation if you eat too much of them.
I could have used that in India just now.
And then, of course, my third and final meal that was very exciting for me would have been the secret garden in Saigon, Vietnam, which was a referral from Bridget. So those are my top three.
Okay.
Dear, your top three meals in the past 6 months.
So no surprise, it's going to be the spring rolls from Spice Viet Saigon. Incredible. Have dreams about them on the regular. Amesfield in Queenstown, New Zealand. Michelin star restaurant. That's great, but like everything was incredible, right? That's where we had the duck's foot, the sheep's tail. Like everything sounds gross when you say it out loud. Yeah, but
the dessert was a deer antler, like ice cream made of a deer antler.
With like a beet.
For blood.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Gastronomic experience.
Yeah. That's right. It was incredible. And then finally, probably Balthazar in Perth, not the Balthazar in New York, but this beautiful cave-like old school restaurant that had amazing wine, really good service, and just really good homey food. Those are my top three.
Okay. And certainly along the way, there were some surprises.
Mm-hmm. So top three surprises are that people still want to take pictures with gringos. They will still see you and ask you if they can take a photo with you. And that's shocking to me. Everywhere we go where that happens, I'm very surprised. The next is that how global retail has become, or anything, right? Like you can go all over the world and there's a Uniqlo, there is a Muji. There is an H&M. There is a Kiehl's. Mm-hmm. There's literally, if you're going to a city, there's going to be pretty much anything and everything you could ever want to find. The last thing is that I wore the same clothes for 6 months straight and still have the same shoes, albeit one of the pair of shoes is new, but it's still the same pair of shoes.
And after we hit the 6 month mark, you went on a little bit of a shopping spree in like months.
I purged, yes, a bit. But Farber, 6 months, that's a long time.
It's a very long time to wear the same
three. I like clothes. I like shoes. Okay, what about you?
The biggest thing, I think.
Yours aren't as shallow as mine.
Mine are, that's true. Mine consider others. The biggest thing I think is the obvious one, which is climate change is affecting this trip more than I thought it would for us. And mm-hmm. I say that in the sense of everywhere we've gone, the high season or the weather season, which we thought was to be based upon research, is delayed or off. And I say that meaning in Australia, we were supposed to be there in December and that was going to be the start of summer.
Well, we were there.
But it wasn't summer. It was basically spring continued. It was cold. It was rainy. So everything's kind of pushed back there about 2 months that we've seen. This goes for Southeast Asia as well, where we've been for the past like 3 months, where it's a heat wave in every single country. And people are like, this is very unusual. But I'm like, it's 104 degrees today. This is not common. So
yeah, it's like 40, 42 degrees, right? Every single day.
Yep. The other one was how interactions and meeting with other travelers has changed compared to my first trip traveling internationally abroad backpacking 20 years ago.
So wait, things have changed in 20 years?
Well, it's not as though they have internet cafes anymore. Okay. Everything has changed. Everybody does everything on their phone now. You can book hotels. You don't have to go and see if there's availability. This is, I know, obvious to most listeners, but the way in which people engage while they're traveling with one another has changed as well, to my disappointment. Most people are on their phone when they go out to eat. They're not going to stop and try and meet somebody new. And this goes for our whole trip. We've noticed this. So there's less communal sort of like, oh, you're traveling. So am I. Where have you been? It's I'm on my phone. I'm on social media. I'm like FaceTiming with friends back home.
Yeah,
so the world is a lot more connected than it was then, where like an email was sufficient to send to a family member. Now you just FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the
which is good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You're less inclined to meet somebody you don't know because you can just call your friends.
But also, you then can connect with your family in real time.
And God forbid we don't call B&D once a week.
Okay. What's your last thing?
My last one is that social media followers and the Instagram influencers have really ruined the experience. Because what we've noticed is that everybody wants to go and get the shot that they see online and then leave. So if you're going to a temple, you see this. If you're going to a national park, you see this. So I think it's kind of just become a very selfish society on social media. And so you miss the whole point of traveling. And this is everywhere we've been. This is not just one place. So not to be negative or pessimistic, but that's my surprise.
You're a curmudgeoned. That's it.
And life is not easy, and therefore traveling does offer regrets and it does offer disappointments. And we have three of those each, too.
Yep. So number one for me is not having better weather in Australia, like you just talked about. It was supposed to be spring, summer. It was not. It felt like winter. So I think because of that, we felt like we spent too much time there. And we are very down in the dumps, I will say.
We were in a van for 2.5 months and the weather was horrible.
It was horrible.
It's a hard thing when you can't leave the van because it's raining.
Yeah. Second one was we had multiple flights that got canceled to go to a different island in Indonesia because we wanted to go diving. And that would have been incredible. But silver lining, we got to go to Nusa. We would not have gone there otherwise. So that was good. And then the last thing is not giving ourselves more time to research ethically and environmentally friendly places to swim with whale sharks.
Yeah, this was like a big bucket list.
I've wanted to do this forever. Like whales, check, finally saw them a couple of years ago, thank God. But like swimming with whale sharks, top of the list for a very long time. And I was just like, there's going to be so many places we can do this when we travel. But if you want to do it right, you need to research.
Or just have no moral compass, and then you can do it in a lot of places.
That's true. But have a moral compass, so don't do that. All right, how about you? Three regrets or disappointments.
This just happens, I guess, but these were overestimating our time in the city of Manila in the Philippines, and then also the city, Cebu City, which is in the Philippines.
But that was related to the whale sharks. We went there to go swimming with the whale sharks, and once we realized how bad it was, we were like, oh, we're here. Now we have nothing to do.
Right, and because we book this stuff in advance, we usually are like 2 weeks to a month out planning.
Well, this was not, though.
Right, but we couldn't go anywhere because we'd booked a hotel. So we were kind of sitting there and we're like, okay, I guess we'll make the best of it. So that's, I guess, is just thinking these things come up. You think you're going to need a lot of time and you don't necessarily. Some places you don't have enough time, you need more.
Yep.
The other second one of my regrets, let's say, this is like an inside joke between Jonica and I, but I will explain hopefully in enough detail. It is Silk Boss Rosie House Cock. Those are four hotel choices or homestay situations in which I've tried to go low budget, and Jonica agreed to them, and they've just completely backfired. They've been very big letdowns as it relates to accommodation. The names all coincide with the name of one of those hotels, the four that really just...
So we merged them together to make one gigantic name of shit hotels that we've stayed in.
Silk Boss Rosie House Cock.
Yep.
Hopefully there's no more to add to this.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
My last one here is going to be that really interesting geographic locations have really turned into Instagram shoot locations.
And you have a theme here.
Well, by that, I mean, listen, you have a rice field, right? And it's this serene, picturesque location. And then there's a giant fucking swing that goes into it. And there's a girl in a dress swinging back and forth. Or you have this mountain overlook and it drops off and this cliff. But right as it drops off, there's a bunch of like concrete hands that have like a bridge walking up to them that you can sit in and have a photo. And the last thing, which just pissed me off more than anything, is that the heart. There are hearts.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
There's hearts everywhere, like made out of bamboo, made out of rebar. And they're just these really, really great locations that are supposed to be taken in personally and absorbed are interrupted by a girl with a selfie stick on a swing.
Mm-hmm.
That's an off that tangent. The soapbox has now been taken down.
Well, I don't know about that. We still have a few more to go. What are the top three things that you missed?
One of the three things I didn't think I would miss, but I've come to it after this much time, is having a routine. So we are living out of these backpacks. We go in and out of places, sleeping and jumping on buses and jumping on trains and all that. But with that, there's no routine. So it's hard to exercise. It's hard to eat well. It's hard mm-hmm. to like know how much time you're going to have before you need to leave to go somewhere else. So the routine thing is kind of getting at me a little bit, or what I miss. Snowboarding. That's something I've done every winter. So I miss that opportunity. And then last but not least, my love, is your cooking. Aww. Your meals you cook at home for me.
And I miss cooking. I do. I miss cooking a lot. My top three are friends and family. I miss seeing our peeps, you know, having the meals, having the drinks, hanging out. Number two is Pepto-Bismol. It's weird. You can only get Imodium all over the world for some reason. And my stomach has been a mess, so I do miss me some Pepto-Bismol. Number three is Mexican food. I miss tacos. I miss burritos. I miss guacamole. I miss tequila. Like, I miss it all. And then I'm going to sneak a fourth in here. It's a really good vodka martini. Because no one can make a really good vodka martini yet.
I think that's a fourth favorite that's worth
mentioning. That's what I said.
Yeah, I agree. I concur that one.
Mm-hmm. That's my list. All right. Top three favorite places so far, within the first 6 months.
Number one, Queenstown, New Zealand.
You loved it there.
Because it's like an REI come to life, like as a city. It's got everything extreme you want to do.
That's true.
Vietnam, this specifically the north, for the Phan Xaphon legend. If you listen to episode 16, you'll know what that's about.
You saw me cry.
like broke down in tears. Yes, mm-hmm. I saw this. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And then my last one is going to be El Nido, which is in the Philippines. It is in Palawan, the island of Palawan. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. It is like a postcard. It is everything that you think the internet has to offer when you see a photo of a place. It's there. But that's it. After that, after the beauty is gone, there's not much in El Nido, to be honest. So, but it's one of my favorite places still. Love it.
All right, for me, Vietnam, we both talked about this a lot. We can't stop talking about it. But if I had to pick a specific place, it would be either Phu Qua, which is kind of shocking, I guess. But I thought it was lovely. We went to some beautiful beaches. We ate some really good food. Or Hue, which was very historic and beautiful. And then, I just said it, but Nusa in Indonesia was also very magical. My last is Picton in New Zealand with the Marlborough Sounds. So you had the wine, you had the dolphins, you had the seals. So you had like nature and wine. It was everything, I feel like. It was like an idyllic, tiny little town.
We got really lucky there too, because the Airbnb we had was, oh, it was beautiful. Right on the sound.
Yeah.
And it was like a port. It was like a port town, really. There was like 4,000 people in the town, but it was just each morning you'd wake up and you'd be like, there go the fishermen. And
I could live in a place like that.
From New York City to Picton, New Zealand. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. So that's the list.
That's it.
That's it.
That's what we're going to hit on.
Mm-hmm. If there's any of our listeners that do have questions or want us to expand on any of these top three lists we've just discussed, do us a favor. Hit us up. Hit us up in email. Hit us up the DM on Instagram. I know I shunned it a lot, but it's still a lifeblood for communication. So let's.
He's still trying to be an influencer on TikTok too. Now that we're out of India, we can start posting again. Quickly, we're going to do a State of the Union, right? Plans then versus now. So I think it's really interesting and funny to look at our initial plans. And I say initial plans with air quotes because we mapped out our loose itinerary wish list with at least 5 times. Oh, right? I think
we had 6 or 7 itineraries.
Like, yeah. Before drafts. We departed.
Yep.
So our last plan had us in Egypt in March-ish, which is hysterical to think. It's May. We thought we would be in Egypt in March. We are currently in Sri Lanka. And we obviously are still very far from Egypt and probably are not even going to make it there on this trip. So for the most part, though, we have stuck pretty closely to the countries that we thought we were going to visit, right? There's been a few additions. There's been a few places we did not go. But, you know, I think we're staying actually pretty close to the plan, just not on the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when we were hashing this out a year ago in Pennsylvania, we had a map, right? We talked about this, like a big map on the table. And we thought, we'll be able to go here by this time. And you could really plan it. And because it wasn't yet a reality. And now that you're in it, it's very difficult to actually plan things far, far, far out like you're able to do when you're at home and you're working. Where surprisingly, it's difficult to actually get ahead of ourselves and plan like 3 months from mm-hmm. now. So, yeah, I think we've stuck to the itinerary, albeit some fluctuation here and there for like places we really liked or disliked.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And this subject, I think, is close to both of our hearts and some of our minds, is how we are doing financially.
I am running us dry, you guys, all the time, nonstop. I'm just hemorrhaging money.
So as we had initially budgeted this trip, we thought exactly $250 a day is what would be our expenses. And that's food, housing, excursions,
transportation, yep. Everything.
Yep. And we thought there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. And so far, as we've been traveling, it's been, you know, we've
I can't wait for you to say this.
We've remained on budget.
Have we?
You know, there's some highs, high prices, and that's Australia. Okay, that was a huge hit. Then there's some affordable days. Southeast Asia. Extremely affordable in comparison to most places in the world. So we're netting out at that average that I feel comfortable with. I think, you know, you feel the same way.
Yes.
I will say there are some predictable expenses that we had to make that nonetheless, they are still sort of a tough one to take. And that is renewing our travel insurance, which every 5.5-6 months we have to do. That is a huge hit, but it does take care of us in the event we have to go to a hospital. We have to have surgery. We have to be airlifted. Something dramatically more worse than those three things happens. So you have to have travel insurance.
It's not going to happen, but you have to have it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then,
it's a responsible thing to do.
That's right. And then the second large expense, which we knew was going to come, but we didn't really want to do, you know, acknowledge it, is that we have a 100-square-foot storage unit in Pennsylvania with all of our items from our previous life. Mm. I think John could be hard-pressed to list everything that's in there, but that has to be paid for in advance. Every 6 months we pay for that.
So what does the future hold? After we left Vietnam, which was at the 6 month mark, we realized that we do have to get a move on. Looking at the map, even today, we were like, oh my God, it feels like we haven't gone anywhere, which is horrible to say, weird to say in the last 6 months. But it does not look like we have made much momentum, but we need to get going. And the reason for this is that we have a lot of friends that we will be meeting in various locations around Europe in the early summer. And we're super lucky and very excited for how this has worked out. But it does mean that we're having to cut out some countries. We're going to go to some places that we didn't expect. And we're not going to get to go to Egypt, which I'm a little upset about. But we'll be going to Western Europe in the early part of the summer and then backtracking towards Eastern Europe, right, for the mid-late summer, which hopefully should be more affordable and something that we haven't done much of.
No, I mean, that's the plan as of today.
Mm-hmm.
So that does bring us sort of to the question, as I foreshadowed earlier, as far as our storage is concerned.
Like leading up to it, yep.
Yeah, will we be back in October of 2024?
I know, it's hard.
a
year.
Yeah, that'd be 1 year from the time we left. I wouldn't put money on this, and I say that because our timeline for the trip has been extended, as we've previously mentioned. We're both comfortable with this, but knowing that, we continue to address our cash flow and budget accordingly, I think we can kind of push this can down the road a little bit. This means when Jonica wants to spend money on a nicer accommodation, a little more upscale, we have to compromise somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all seriousness, like we both very vehemently acknowledge how fortunate we are to have this experience. No joke, like no sarcasm. We will do whatever we can to try and push this along and keep it going as long as we can stay within the financial boundaries so that we can prolong this trip. And
well, your TikTok career has not taken off yet.
I'm still searching for sponsors. and listen, like we've entertained this idea. Like we may look at some work options along the way, some sort of travel work.
Yep. If it fits. Teaching English, picking fruit, we'll figure it out. All right.
Let's break down some numbers. We have slept in 40 different beds.
That's a lot.
Over the past 6 months.
That's a lot of beds.
We have flown 23,726 miles. If you put this in perspective, it is just about 25,000 miles around the entire globe.
We're like 1,000 miles shy at 6 months.
And this, to be clear, this does not include...
That's just Airplane.
Yeah, this does not include driving Wanda. This does not include any of the ferries, the trains, cars, trikes that have we have
sleeper ridden. Buses.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing else. Just airplanes. All right. That is going to do it for our 6 month on the road check-in. We are still loving the travel life and each other, right? The latter is mind-blowing for me. Real quick, Farber, how do you think, how are we getting along? Is it better or worse than you expected?
I think if you're in a relationship, long-term, short-term, you know, and you're going to travel with that partner, go into a van for 2.5 months and see, it'll make or break the situation. See how that turns out, because that will decide.
Start there.
That'll decide if you can do it or not. I think that and just a lot of compromise. Forfeiting. I like to call it forfeiting sometimes.
Okay, but how do you think we're doing?
I think we're doing great. I think we're doing. I'm happy. There are times when I'm like, I need to go do my thing, and Jonica can go do her thing, and sometimes she says it to me, and then I need to back off and go for a walk or something. That happens, but that's a relationship.
I think it's much better than I ever thought it would be. Like, honestly, at home, if you would have told me that we would have been basically like locked together all the time, I probably would have been like, absolutely not. Like, we will murder each other. And not to say there's not times I do want to murder you, but I think we're doing pretty well. You're still alive.
More simply stated than what I had. I was.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. The adventure continues. Next episode, we are going to be talking about Cambodia and our quick hit in Thailand. But in Cambodia, it was Songkhrang. So get ready. It's going to be wet and full of baby powder. So until next time, bye.